Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
Bibles, turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That's in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles, feel free to use your table of contents if you need to. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Last week we started a series on knowing God. We started by looking at God's steadfast covenant love. And the Hebrew word there is hesed. H-E-S-E-D is a transliteration. So if I use the term hesed, you know I am referring to God's steadfast covenant love. This is a premier word in the Old Testament to talk about God's relationship to His people. It is a very rich word. Therefore, it is translated a number of ways. The primary way it's translated in the New American Standard Version is loving kindness. The primary way it is translated in the English Standard Version is steadfast love. And the way it's translated in the NIV, I believe, is enduring love. It can also be translated unfailing love, grace, mercy, faithfulness, goodness, devotion. Now, we saw last week that this rich word used to describe God's relationship to His people has four aspects to it that we need to ever keep before us. The first aspect is covenant commitment, that God has entered into a covenant with His people, that God is willing, the God of the universe is willing to bind Himself in covenant with us. That's amazing in itself. But not only is there the covenant, but there is the steadfast loyalty to that covenant. God desires and wants to fulfill His obligations to that covenant. And then there is the love aspect. God delights in fulfilling the obligations of the covenant. It is a joy for God. It is His love to do so. And then the fourth aspect is the personal involvement, that God gets involved with His people. He's not a God that's way off in up in heaven, detached from His people. He's not a God that made the universe and just stands back and let it run like a watchmaker would let a watch run. No, He's involved in the continuous working of His creation. He is involved in the lives of His people. We said a beautiful picture that the Bible gives of this hesed is the marriage relationship. It is a covenant. You make a commitment. You have a steadfast loyalty to keep that commitment, to be faithful to that commitment all the days of your life. But it's more than just an obligation. It's a love. You desire. You want to be faithful to your covenant of marriage. It's a joy to do so. And then that personal involvement with your spouse. You're involved in their lives. The two become one. Now today we're going to continue to look at God's steadfast covenant love, His loving kindness. God's steadfast love is such an important truth. I believe God wants us to spend a few weeks looking at it in more detail, seeking to help you grasp and understand something of the depth of God's loving kindness, of His steadfast covenant love. Because the greater we understand God's steadfast covenant love, it will increase our faith and trust in Him. It will help our prayer life. It will help us understand the security of our own salvation. The more we understand the hesed of God, the more we will understand His forgiveness, and the easier it will be for us to receive that forgiveness that God has over our sins. It will increase our joy and the joy in our life as we understand the depths of His loving kindness toward us. This week, we begin by seeing God's loving kindness in action in our passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Israel finds themselves in great dire straits. The nations of Ammon and Moab and the Midianites have come together to invade Jerusalem and Judah. King Jehoshaphat realizes that Judah is helpless against this multitude of invading armies. And so he calls the nation to a day of fasting and seeking the Lord. It's here that we pick up our story in verse 5. In respect for the Word of God, let me ask you to stand. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, remember the covenant God made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and on down. Are you not God in the heavens? Are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? Jehoshaphat is basing this prayer on God's steadfast covenant love, the covenant that he had made with Abraham hundreds of years earlier. He knows God's going to be faithful to that covenant. God's going to have a steadfast loyalty to keep that covenant. They have lived in it and have built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house. Name represented the presence of God. He dwelt there in the Holy of Holies between the cherubim. And cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Now behold the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. They turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley, in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. God's steadfast love moved him to be personally involved in their situation. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Verse 20. They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in His prophets and succeed. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised Him in holy attire, and they went out before the army. Now, isn't this a strange sight? The choir goes out in front of the army. Now notice what the choir was singing and praising God about. And said, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For His hesed, His loving kindness, His steadfast love is everlasting. They knew it was because of God's steadfast love that they could count on Him to come to their aid in this time of trouble. And so they went out before the army praising God for His loving kindness. And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Notice it came at the time that they were praising God in faith for His loving kindness, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. This is a word the Scripture uses when God moves in and stirs up an army and confuses them. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. You see this picture? These armies are coming against Judah, and God so confuses them that they start killing each other. Verse 24. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. Israel didn't have to lift a single sword. They just stood by and saw the salvation of their God based on His steadfast covenant love. He moved on their behalf. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. You may be seated. God's steadfast covenant love, His loving kindness in action. Today we're going to seek to understand the loving kindness of God. I'm going to ask 3 questions. First, what is the extent of God's loving kindness? Second, what is the value of God's steadfast covenant love? And then thirdly, what should be our response to God's steadfast covenant love? First, what is the extent of God's steadfast covenant love? And what we're going to see is we're going to see a progression in the greatness of God's steadfast covenant love as it is spoken about in Scripture. First, David tells us in Psalm 23, one you've memorized, surely goodness and, King James says, mercy. We memorize that. It's the word hesed, loving kindness. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me, how long? The next week? No. All the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of presence of the Lord forever. David was convinced that God's loving kindness would be with him throughout his entire life. There would never be a day that he was living on earth that God's steadfast covenant love would not be upon him. He believed that nothing in this life could ever separate him from God's loving kindness. Paul believed that same thing we saw last week in Romans 8 when he says neither height nor depth nor width or breadth or anything created, neither things past or things to come, can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So first of all of our days. God Himself told Moses in Exodus 34, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands. And he's talking about to the thousandth generation. First, look at the word abounding that God uses. The word means abundance. It means many. It means great. You remember in the first part of Exodus when the Israelites, God blessed them and they multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and became so many that Pharaoh of Egypt got afraid. He got scared. You remember that? said they were just a multitude of men, a swarm of them. They just multiplied. The same words used, abounding. They were abounding. Just like God's loving kindness is abounding. This tells me God does not ration out His loving kindness. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to give you a little bit here, and I'll give you just a little more, and I think I'm going to take a little bit less from you. Oh, no. He doesn't ration it out. He gives it out in abundance. He gives it out in an overflowing manner. Now, it says to the thousandth generation. If a generation is 35 years, then how long would it take to get to 1,000 generations? 35,000 years. So here we've gone from all the days of my life to 35,000 years. The loving kindness of God continues on those who fear Him. The psalmist says in Psalm 33, He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. So now he says the earth is full of it. What's he saying? I think he's saying there's no place you can go on this earth that you'll be away from God's loving kindness on you. Every time I go to a foreign country, I feel out of place. I mean, you would expect it, wouldn't you? There's no place like the U.S. of A. And if you've ever been to a foreign country, you know what I'm talking about. I remember in particular on one of my mission trips to Romania that I was there and I was staying with a Romanian pastor. So obviously I didn't speak his language. I was in a foreign country. And I remember just thinking how alone I felt. You know, just being in a foreign country and being with people I really didn't know that well. It was the first time we'd gone. But then God just said to me, I'm here. My loving kindness is with you. You cannot go anywhere on this globe that you can escape my loving kindness. It fills the earth. Then we see another progression in Psalm 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As high as the heavens are above the earth. Now, how high are the heavens above the earth? Now, put yourself back in David's day. You know, scientists today will try to give us some hundreds of thousands of light years and all this kind of stuff. How fast light can travel in 1 year. It traveled 183,000 miles a second. Now, you multiply that times how many seconds are in a year, and that's 1 year. And we know our own galaxy is 150,000 light years in diameter, so, you know, we're mind-boggling here. But imagine in David's day, when he says God's loving kindness reaches to the heavens, as far as the heavens are above the earth. Might he be saying that God's loving kindness is immeasurable? Greater than anyone can measure? That it is infinite? He also says in Psalm 108 that your loving kindness is great. Look at that word. Not only extends to the heavens, but what? Above the heavens. And you're really getting on it now. Not only just to the heavens, but you've gotten above the heavens. Amen. And then we think we've gone about as far as we can go, but Psalm 136 tells us more. It says that God's loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His loving kindness is everlasting. 26 times the psalmist says in this one psalm, His loving kindness is everlasting. Now, how many times did he have to say it for it to be true? He said it 26 times. Everlasting. How long is everlasting? You know, your soul is everlasting. your soul will last forever. Now, it does me a lot of good to know God's loving kindness is going to last just as long as my soul. Huh? That means there will never be a time in all of eternity that God's loving kindness, His steadfast covenant love, is not on me and on you as His child. It will never run out. Now, when we think we've exhausted it, everlasting, we see one more truth. Psalm 103. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. Now, what's the difference between everlasting and from everlasting to everlasting? Well, from everlasting and to everlasting is eternal. Now, you and I are not eternal. We have a beginning point. God created us and put a living soul in us. Now, from the time you began, and I think it begins at conception, you will last forever, going that way. But you have a point of origin. But God's loving kindness does not have a point of origin. It is from everlasting, that's going this way and never stopping, to everlasting, going forward and never stopping. And so God's loving kindness never had a beginning and never will have an ending. Now, there's only one who is eternal. You know who that is? God. He's the only eternal one. He's the only one that's always been. And so it only makes sense that His loving kindness is eternal like He is. So what's the extent of God's loving kindness all the days of our life? For 35,000 years to the ends of the earth, above the heavens, and from everlasting to everlasting. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, what is the value of God's steadfast covenant love? Well, first the Scripture says it's precious. Psalm 36. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Now, this word precious is used of rare and costly jewels. It's used of King David's crown being precious. God's loving kindness is precious as rare, costly jewels, as rare metals, gold, titanium. But he goes on to say in Psalm 63 that its value is better than life. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Now, what's the most valuable thing you own? You may say your house. Thing you own. Right? Some of you may say, well, preacher, you know, I have a retirement account, or I have stock portfolio, and it's the most valuable thing I own. Well, would you give your life for it? If somebody came up to you and said, okay, your house or your life? You wouldn't hesitate one nanosecond. Take my house, because if I'm dead, what good does it do me, right? So there's nothing in this life more valuable than your life. Nothing materially. But yet, the psalmist says, His loving kindness is better than life itself. He says, if I had to choose between living outside of the loving kindness of God, living outside of His steadfast covenant love, and being dead, I would choose death. That's how valuable it is. He said, I don't want to live if I've got to live outside of God's steadfast covenant love. If I had to live without God, I don't want to live. Now, it's interesting, when David wrote this, he was actually fleeing from King Saul, who out of a insane jealousy was seeking to kill him. Saul had put all of the armies of Israel at his disposal for the purpose of hunting down David and killing him. And it is at this point that David says, your loving kindness is better than life. I think what he's saying is, God, if it wasn't for your loving kindness, I'd be dead. But your steadfast covenant love is keeping me safe. You are keeping Saul and his army from catching me and killing me. Even in this life-threatening situation, my lips will praise you. And I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Why? Because of God's steadfast covenant love. Even when death is knocking at the door, He says, I'm going to praise you because of your steadfast covenant love. Your hesed is with me. Because He knew even in death, it would stay with Him. It would stay with Him. Look, folks, there are a lot of things. In fact, everything is worse for the Christian than death. You hear me? The day a Christian dies is the second best day of his life. Best day is when you became saved. Now think about that. The best day of your life is the day you die. I was telling Terry this. I said, the best day of my life will be the day I die. And I hope that's not the best day of your life, but it will be the best day of my life. Because David said, man, I'd rather die and be with God's loving kindness than to live and be without it. That's how valuable it is. More precious and rare and costly gold and diamonds. More valuable than life itself. What should be our response then to God's covenant love? I'm going to cover a few today and I'll cover some more next week. First, we should praise God and speak well of Him. That's what we see in Psalm 63. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. And I will bless you as long as I live. Speak well of God. I'll lift up my hands in your name. When we praise God here every Sunday morning, it should be partly based on His steadfast covenant love. And because we realize that love is going to be on us through eternity. And it's because of that steadfast covenant love that He has brought us into the covenant of redemption. That we, by His grace, have been forgiven. And we can lift up praises to Him. Secondly, we should spend time thinking about it. Psalm 48:9. We have thought on your loving kindness, O God, in the midst of your temple. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. We need to spend time thinking about and meditating on God's steadfast covenant love. It would do you well, as I encouraged you last week, to spend time thinking about God's steadfast covenant love in its four aspects. His covenant commitment, His steadfast loyalty to that covenant, His love for you, and His personal involvement in your life. Consider how God's steadfast covenant love applies to your life. Israel forgot to do this. Over in Psalm 106, in verse 7, it says that Israel did not remember the loving kindness of the Lord and rebelled against Him at the Red Sea. God had delivered them from Egypt. From the Egyptians by miraculous signs based on His steadfast covenant love. We saw that last week. Now they come to the Red Sea. They feel hemmed in, mountains on two sides, the Red Sea on the third side, and Pharaoh's army coming on the fourth side. What do? They don't stop to consider God's brought us this far with great miraculous signs. He's surely not going to let us die now. God is a God of steadfast covenant love. God will keep His commitment, His vow, His promise. He's going to deliver us. They don't do that. Instead, they start yelling and screaming, saying we'd be better off if we never left Egypt. We told you to leave us alone, Moses. We told you now we'd just come out here to die. Just throwing a fit. And the psalmist says, because they did not remember God's loving kindness, they rebelled against Him. When you and I are going through difficult times, when you feel like you are God forsaken, you need to stop and consider the steadfast covenant love of your God. I do not care how things look to these eyes. You must look through the eyes of faith and realize that your covenant God has not abandoned you. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He is still carrying forth His redemptive plan in your life. So instead of getting afraid, instead of getting upset, instead of worrying, instead of getting angry with God, just stand back and say, God, I praise You for Your loving kindness. You know what You're doing, even though I don't. Your ways are not my ways, nor are Your words my words. I will trust You. I will bow in humility and surrender to Your sovereign will, trusting Your steadfast covenant love. If you will do that, you will have peace in the midst of the storm. You will have that peace that passes understanding, the Scripture says. Anytime you find yourself worrying, anytime you find yourself being overly anxious, anytime you find yourself afraid, you need to stop. And you need to think about God's steadfast covenant love over you as one of His children. Stop and think about it. Reflect on it. And then the third thing, seek to be satisfied in the morning with God's steadfast covenant love. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with Your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. You set your tone for the morning by the things you do when you wake up. Think about it. And the psalmist says, when we wake up, the first thing we need to do is seek to be satisfied with the Lord's steadfast covenant love. He says, if you'll do that, your days will be filled with joy and gladness. Why is that? When you roll out of that bed and you say, God, satisfy me today. Before I leave this bed, before I leave this room, satisfy me with Your loving kindness. What does that mean? That means, Lord, make real to me the fact that You've entered into a covenant with me and You're going to keep that covenant and that You love me because of who You are. Not because of who I am, because of who You are, and You're going to be personally involved in my life today. No matter what happens, You are with me today to care for me, to protect me, to forgive me, to guide me, to lead me. And if you'll realize that before you leave that room, your day will be filled with joy and gladness. No matter what happens, you know God is with you. He's leading you. He's caring for you. You see the difference it can make? And that's why the psalmist said, oh, satisfy me in the morning with Your loving kindness. When I start the day, I want to start it thinking about Your loving kindness for me. Thinking about Your great love for me. Thinking about Your covenant commitment to me. Then no matter what I face, I'm all right. I'm all right because my God is with me. So seek to be satisfied with His loving kindness in the morning. I want to give you a challenge. 5 out of the next 7 days, I want to challenge you to seek to be satisfied with God's loving kindness in the morning. Sometime in the morning, before you leave that house, will you pray, God, satisfy me today with your loving kindness. And spend a moment just thinking about His covenant commitment to you through the Lord Jesus. His loyalty to keep that covenant. His love for you. And His personal involvement in your life. God, you're going to be with me today. I would just say, God, satisfy me with your loving kindness this morning. Just show me how much you love me. Show me that covenant you've entered into the Lord Jesus and brought me into by your grace. And that you're going to fulfill that covenant and all the promises of it. And show me that you're going to be with me, involved in my life every moment of today. I trust in Jesus' name. Will you do that 5 out of 7? I'm going to give you 2 to forget. 5 out of 7 days. I know you're but human. I know you're but dust. So, 5 out of 7. Will you do that? Will you take that challenge? It'll make a difference in your life. I promise you. Let's pray. We do welcome you, and I'm glad that you have taken the opportunity to listen to a sermon on our internet. And I want you just to know that everybody in the church is not like me. I have these fellows up here, our leadership team. This is Filiberto Medina, who is our Hispanic pastor. And our Hispanic congregation meets every Sunday evening at 6:30. This is Paul Kumar. He is our minister of community connections. And to my left is Mark Baker, who heads up our Reformers Unanimous ministry, which is a Christian addiction recovery program that meets every Friday night at 7 o'clock. So if you live in the Mableton area, and it doesn't matter what race you're from, it doesn't matter your cultural background, I want you to know you are welcome at Westside Church. This is where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord. Hope you'll join us soon.
Thank you for being with us for this message. Each week, Dr. Stewart gives practical applications and ways to live out the Word of God. If you would like more information, please take a moment to view our website at wbcfamily.org. That's wbcfamily.org.